Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be here to break open God's Word, knowing that you're watching online. And the title of this whole series is Smelling Salt, because I think this pandemic is getting old for a lot of us here, especially those of us outside the 494 loop. We don't know a lot of people who actually have the virus, or if they have it, they seem to just recover fine. And so there's lots of unrest for a lot of people right now. You have people on the rule followers and those who want to just kind of bust out and let's just start meeting. But what does God want us to do right now? Because God has this wake-up call for us. This pandemic is an opportunity to really hear God's voice. And how should we respond as Christ followers to this pandemic? And thus, the whole Smelling Salt series is focused in the book of James, because there is not a more practical book than James. And for the last 3 weeks, we've pounded this truth in James chapter 1, the first 12 verses, that God uses trials to prepare us and mold us and mature us. And so are we taking the time right now under this trial, trying to hit the new curveball, to slow down, reconnect with God, hear his voice? And so we are prepared to respond, say, for example, if we lose our job. And that's why last Sunday we had Rob Olson here for an amazing testimony, because he's been using his time lately to really dig into God's word, know his voice. And when he was shocked by being let go from his job, he responded with total peace. And he took that peace home. And he shared that peace last Sunday. But not all Christ followers are experiencing that same peace when the problems come. And so I've had a couple of phone calls with some dear River of Lifers, just talking with them through this. And I'll take them right to James 1, 2-4. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so you can be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. I say, okay, so just understand that God wants you to find purpose in the pain. And they say, I hear what you're saying. I understand we want to be molded into the image of Jesus Christ, but I'm not feeling it. I'm not getting it. I'm not like, you know, Rob Olson. Rob Olson would be the first to tell you, hey, there's nothing about me. I'm just relying on God. But then I looked at the next verse. Because what is the prescription for this problem for many of us who are not responding well to the pressure? And it's wisdom. We have to get God's wisdom. Now, the word wisdom in James is drawn from the Old Testament word chokmah, which means skillful living. So how do we live skillfully in the pandemic when we're under trials? How do you live skillfully with who do I date? What do we do during those dates? Who do I marry? You know, where am I going to find my next job? So we need wisdom. We need God to speak to us. And wisdom is seeing things from God's point of view. It's a word of perspective. And so if you go through James in that verse that I just read, it's basically three steps to get wisdom. Three steps. And this is dynamite right here. And the first one is, step one is admit. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom. Now, James is being a little sarcastic there. You know, if any of you lack wisdom, he's being super sarcastic. We all lack wisdom, and we all have to admit it. But when is the last time you admitted that you lack wisdom? When is the last time I admitted that I lack wisdom? I probably don't do it enough. Why? Well, for me, it can be pride. And pride is the killer of wisdom. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. So humble people admit they have a need, and they gain wisdom. And it's funny how when I prepare for a message, that God always gives me an opportunity to really implement that message and what he's teaching me. And so to be honest with you, I've been preaching for 26 years, and James is a really easy book to preach because it's super practical. But I was having the most difficult time kind of crafting this sermon. I mean, like crazy difficult time, so much so that usually I'm done by 6 p.m. on Saturday, and I went home and I grilled chicken, and we had some family over, and after grilling the chicken, I mean, I just had to come back here. I didn't even have it down, but did I admit to them anything? No. I just said, hey, I have to go work on the message some more. I should have just stopped right there and said, hey, can I get some prayer here? I need some of God's wisdom. I'm having a tough time. No, but, and then I come here, and I was here till like 11 p.m. There's a police officer like 10:30 knocking on my office window. I pretty much jumped, and I met him at the front door. He says, I ran your plates, and you're Dave Johnson, and actually, yeah, that's me. What are you doing? I'm the pastor. I'm just kind of struggling with this message, but you know, I should have said, can you pray that I have wisdom? Because this officer happens to attend our church. So anyways, we just have to admit it. And we have to work on that. So the first part is admit. Just admit it. And the second step is to ask. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. Now, the thrust of the verbiage there is God is waiting for us to ask him, because he can't wait to give us wisdom. Because giving is what God is all about. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only son. When we start giving like our money and our time and our gifts to people and organizations, we're a lot like God. And so God's up there just saying, I want to give you this wisdom. Can you simply ask? I love Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Now, who wrote Proverbs? Well, Solomon did. And Solomon, when he was king of Israel, God said, Solomon, I'll grant you one wish, whatever you want. And Solomon said, man, I'll take wisdom. And God was so proud of his move that God says, well, I'm going to give you, download all that, all my wisdom into you. And because of that, I mean, he lived a long life. He didn't struggle in any way. God just blessed him so much. So if God were to ask you, I want to give you a gift, to give you anything, what would it be? Well, you know, it better be wisdom. And we have to ask in such a way with the third step. We have to anticipate, and this is huge. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. You know, it's not just who you ask, it's how you ask. When you ask God for wisdom, is there fire in your belly? Or are you doubting? Spurgeon's one of my favorite preachers of years ago, and I love this quote. There is a way of praying in which you ask for nothing and get it. Don't you love that quote? Lean into Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so we have to admit that we need this wisdom. We have to say no to pride. We have to literally ask God for it and ask others to pray wisdom into us. And then we have to anticipate that God is going to deliver the goods. I mean, it says earnestly seek him. And so right now, if you're in a place where you really don't understand how you're being formed into the image of God through the trials you're under, maybe you're not reacting well at all, maybe you're kind of have a, you know, flying loose at the end, or you're just turning to other stuff. You're turning maybe to alcohol or drugs or just binging on Netflix, or you're just going crazy. How about dropping to your knees and asking God earnestly for his wisdom and see what happens and listen to his voice? And then he'll probably, I know he will, he'll give you a little insight into the purpose of the pain that you are in. Now, the enemy of wisdom is wishy-washy. I've been waiting all day to share that, wishy-washy. I've never used that in a sermon. But that is the enemy of wisdom. Because right after you read this great stuff about asking God, verse 6 says this, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all he does. He's wishy-washy. He's like a cork blown around in the water by the wind. And so the question is, are you wishy-washy? Are you half-baked? Now, the word double-minded literally means two-souled. It means that you have one mind, like part of your mind is completely dedicated to the things of the world, and the other part of your mind is completely dedicated to the things of heaven. Like you have one foot on earth and one foot in heaven, and when that happens, you do the splits and not fun. And so you have to, you cannot be dedicated to both. God's like, it's either me or nothing, says God. You can't be double-minded. You can't be wishy-washy. And the enemy, I mean, we have the enemy, he's just coming at us, and he's vicious, but he's not victorious. And you have your flesh that's fighting you and doesn't want, you know, you don't want to submit to God and admit that you have a need. You have the world out there that says, no, we're going to be fine. We don't need God. We can figure this out on our own. We're good. And then you become wishy-washy because all those trinkets in the world are right over here, man, and you've got a foot in that because this is where we live. That's why we have to spend time in the Word, time in prayer. We have to get the smell and salt out. We got to put both feet over here, 2 feet in to the kingdom of God. We can't be wishy-washy. And it's really interesting that in verses 9, 10, and 11, and I'm not going to read them, but all of a sudden James, some people think it's an accident because James all of a sudden talks about wealth and money. And he talks about how, you know, if you're poor or rich, the important part is that your faith is in Jesus Christ, and that's wisdom. And so my question is, whether you're poor or rich doesn't really matter. What matters is this, if all the money you have or the little bit of money you have was taken away, how would you respond? Would your life collapse? Would you be in panic mode? And, well, that means you're wishy-washy and you have a foot in the world. You have to be 2 feet in to the kingdom of God. Hey, these messages aren't for the faint-hearted. These are for truly dedicated followers of Jesus Christ. But look at the promise in James 1:12. Blessed is a man or woman who perseveres under trial. When they have stood the test, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Wisdom gives perspective. You get the long-range view. You know, wise people are never in a rush. It's the wise person who, you know, you're sharing everything that's going on in your life, and a wise person will listen and say, you know, how about if we take this one day at a time? Now, two words of wisdom and just a couple of tips before we close here. The first one is this. God does not want to make the decision for you. God does not want to make the decision for you. Some Christians say, I don't know what to do, and I'm just going to leave it up to God. Where do you see that in Scripture? That's a cop-out. Now, before the emails flood, if you're on your knees, really seeking God for wisdom, listening to his voice, you have both feet in the kingdom of God, and he speaks to you and says, I have this, just chill, then just chill. But God wants to mature us. And how he matures us is when we listen to his voice and we do what he says. But guess what? Sometimes we thought we heard his voice, and we do something, and it doesn't work, and that's how we grow. And you don't lose faith. You go back to God and learn better how to hear His voice. I've made lots of wrong choices after fasting and praying with different hires I've made, all this kind of stuff. I prayed, had peace, and then it wasn't the right choice. Other times, it's the right choice. So it's a game of perspective and patience. But God wants us to make the choice by listening to Him and learning His voice. Nowhere does it say, you just pray and God says, I'll make the choice for you. No, we pray, we hear His voice, we get His perspective, then we make the choice. Sometimes that might be just to chill, but most often it's not, because God wants to grow us, and we grow by making mistakes and getting up, brushing the dust off and saying, I made a mistake, I'm going to learn from it. So that's the first tip. The second one is this. God's wisdom is found in God's word. I love Psalm 119:105. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so lamps back then, they would hold them because they didn't have street lights. And it would basically be just enough for the next step. Just enough for the next step. And so the lamp is the word of God. And we need to read the word of God every day for the next step. For the next step. I have a dear friend who's dating someone right now. We're trying to figure out if they want to date and want to go the next step. And I sent this verse to them saying, you know, one day at a time. Immerse yourself in God's word in prayer and just take it one day at a time. Before we have communion, I just want to say this. We're either going to live by chance or by choice. And some people are choosing, I'm going to live by chance. And that's a dangerous place to live. There's a lot of instability there. You don't want to go there. You become apathetic. It's hard to get out of bed. You get depressed. I want to live by choice. And my choice is not to follow my thinking, but to follow God's thinking. And my choice is to God, under this trials you're putting me through, under the pain you're putting me through, I know you have a plan because you resurrected from the dead. And when you did this, your word came alive and it's true. And so I'm making the choice to fall down on my knees and to admit I need wisdom, to ask you and to anticipate that you're going to deliver the goods. And everything in this camp is saying no to that. But everything in the kingdom of God is saying yes to that demeanor. And so are you going to live by choice or by chance? Please choose choice by God. Heavenly Father, may your Holy Spirit continue to reign in and through us. May we learn as a church, as believers. I pray for those who don't understand what's happening. May they humble themselves and chase after your wisdom and speak to them in incredible ways. May they find purpose in the pain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.